It's KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. I'm really glad you're listening right now. This next interview is with a local musician, and it's about his latest record, but it's also about death and love and family. And I'm going to let my guest explain. His name is Phil Elverum. He releases music under the name Mount Erie. I don't know how you tell strangers what happened, but maybe you should just tell us what happened.
I'm a musician, and my wife was also a musician and artist. We live in Anacortes. We had a baby in early 2015, and then 4 months later, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer that was advanced and inoperable, and it was just this, devastating thing. And then she had cancer for 13 months and then died last July, July 9th. And then I made a record about it.
Death is real. Someone's there and then they're not. And it's not for singing about. It's not for making into art. When real death enters the house, all poetry is dumb. When I walk in to the
she got diagnosed, everything changed, of course, but specifically music and art, which had previously been the center of everything. Our existence was like doing this independent music and art world. All of a sudden, it seemed like, what were we? Why were we so wrapped up in that? It's so ephemeral and useless in the face of something legitimately devastating like this. I don't know. I feel contradictory about it. I feel complex because, of course, I just made this record, so clearly I feel like there's some purpose for music.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised to hear an artist say that art seems ephemeral.
Well, yeah, I think because it just the bottom fell out and just everything felt like, oh, this random devastation hit our house. An asteroid fell from space for no reason. What on my bookshelves of poetry or what on my record shelves of music can help me understand this? And I just, nothing did.
What changed? What happened that got you to start thinking musically again?
It just happened. I did not expect it to happen either. It was the furthest thing from my mind. I'm a single parent now. I have this 2-year-old and she was 1.5 when Genevieve died. So, the idea of focusing on music, or let alone like any of my interests, like taking care of myself, my interests were the bottom of the totem pole for a long time as a caregiver when Genevieve was sick, and then after she died as just a parent. So it wasn't part of my thinking at all. And so these songs just, they all came out in a kind of a flood over the course of 4 or 5 weeks of writing, just sitting there every night. After I'd put my daughter to sleep, I'd go into the room and sit down and organize these thoughts. And they're pretty straight up diary style documentaries of this happened, then we went here, then we went there, and then it was this date. And
it feels like your journal.
Yeah.
In parts.
It is. It is that. When I was making these songs, I wasn't sure if anyone was ever going to hear it besides me. I was making it for myself. And that's true. I mean, I have said that before about earlier albums, maybe kind of disingenuously, but I really mean it for this. I was just making these songs to get this stuff out of me. It was only as it started to become like, oh, this is 11 songs. Oh, this is an album, that I realized these are pretty. I want people to hear these.
The echo of you in the house dies down. October wind blows. It makes a door close. I look over my shoulder. there is nobody here. I finally took out the upstairs bathroom garbage that was sitting there, forgotten since you were here. Wanting just to stay with us, just to stay living.
I had the impression that you feel conflicted about publicizing this and selling it. I don't know, performing it to strangers. What's going on?
Well, I do feel conflicted, but I'm doing it. I'm proud of this as a work of art. Also, it's my job. Also, I'm interested in selling records because I want to make money for my daughter's future, to put it bluntly. And I do recognize that I'm like, there's an aspect of what I'm doing that could be seen as exploitative of this trauma. But I kind of feel like the universe messed with me, and I'm going to get back at it.
You recorded this album in the room where your wife died?
Yeah, it's a little morbid, maybe, but that's the room in the house. That's the spare room, and that's where the hospital bed got set up. It's also where art projects happen, and that's what I did.
What did you imagine that would be like, and then what was that like?
I mean, it felt like confronting it head on. I didn't want the room to feel haunted, and I wanted to, like, inhabit it. I think, like, maybe inhabitation is the antidote for ghosts. So I wanted to live in there and make new life and positivity in that room that I had very vivid memories of her final days. So I didn't want those final days to be like sealed up and define that room or define the house at all. So yeah, it was reclaiming it, kind of. And that's an ongoing thing throughout the house.
And sometimes your daughter was in that room with you when you were recording?
She was sleeping in her room across the hall, but yeah, nearby. You know, we go in there every morning still, walk across from the bedroom across the hall, and she usually sings and dances around. Her toys are in there. She's seen Prince sing Purple Rain on YouTube, so she goes up to the mic and starts singing Purple Rain because she knows that that's what you're supposed to do into a microphone.
Right? That's what microphones are for, honey.
Yeah, they're for singing Purple Rain at the top of your lungs.
Is there a song that especially comes to mind when you imagine yourself in that room recording this?
They're all in there. I mean, they're all so deeply in that room. Swims starts with, I can't get the image out of my head of when I held you right there and watched you die. So, I mean, when I'm singing that song, I'm really picturing that spot right there, and I'm talking about right there.
I can't get the image out of my head. Of when I held you right there and watched you die. Upstairs in the back bedroom of our house where we have lived for many years. Your last gasping breaths. I see it again and again.
What do you think Genevieve would say about this record?
I don't know. I think about that. We weren't public. We weren't public about the personal details in our life. We were very much keeping it close, keeping a bubble of privacy, because it felt too special to let strangers in, let alone make a super confessional album about it. But then she died, and I don't know. She wasn't around anymore to protest, and I guess there was a shift in me that felt like I didn't care about privacy anymore. If anything, I felt like going polar opposite and just opening up all the way, telling everything. It felt good. So she might not be into it, honestly, but I am doing it. I'm telling her, I'm telling the world that I love her really loud.
Have you thought about what your daughter is going to think about this album when she can understand it?
I have thought a little bit about that, but not much, because as central as this album is to me today, I know that in a few years it will be, I'll have more albums and I'll have lots of conversations with her about Genevieve, and this will just be a detail among many details in the story that gets passed down to her. Yeah, this will be like that record that Papa made about that sad time, and he has a lot of albums. She's still not, she's like right on the cusp of asking, where's Mama? She has asked that a couple times, but then she lets it go. So she, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to navigate that for the rest of our lives. She's going to be the messenger about this concept to kids that probably haven't had that conversation. So that's a weird role for my daughter. But that's the reality of the social situation we find ourselves in. I am also a death's head walking around. I am a messenger of like the shortness of life and the fleetingness of things. When people see me around, they have this pitiful, devastated look on their face. And that's, I didn't want that role. I just wanted to go to the grocery store and buy a cheese. But now I'm this symbol. And my daughter will be too. I don't think there's any way of like weaseling out of these roles. It's just happened to us.
I don't know. A lot of us, most of us have our own catastrophes, right?
Sure.
As you were saying. I related to in Seaweed, you know, our daughter's 1.5. You've been dead 11 days. What a way to start a song.
Yeah. That song is about just questioning meaning and the possibility of meaning. Well, in a state where things just felt so truly meaningless, which maybe I'm still in. A symbolic gesture that's kind of universal, like scattering ashes. I have scattered her ashes a few places, and I have a few more places, but I still don't know why I'm doing it, because it doesn't feel healing to me, and it feels absurd. It feels like I'm doing an act from a movie or a thing that I know I'm supposed to do. I am overthinking it. I mean, that's just who I am, but like, yeah. What does it mean to dump out someone's burnt bones on a spot? It feels like I look around, no one else is around, and I feel embarrassed and just do this thing from a movie. I guess I find my healing elsewhere. I don't know where.
I get the impression you find something useful in saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's where I find my healing. It's like the takeaway for me in all of this is confirmation of this hunch that I had. Life in the universe is chaotic and meaningless. And this sounds bleak, but I don't feel it in a bleak way. I feel like it's beautiful and joyful also, but meaningless, like meaningless in a joyful way. And that just seems true to me. And that I feel like I'm walking proof of that right now. My little family feels like we're proof of just absurdity. And that feels good to say.
I brought a chair from home. I'm leaving it on the hill. Facing west and north. And I poured out your ashes on it. I guess so you can watch the sunset. But the truth is, I don't think of that dust as you. You are the sunset.
Phil Elverum releases music under the name Mount Eerie, and his new album is called A Crow Looked at Me. It's centered on his wife's death about a year after she was diagnosed with cancer. We are going to tweet out a link to the digital record now, so join us at KUOW.